Good evening, Bill.
Good evening, Stanley. Hello, listeners. Welcome back to the BS Car Guys podcast. Tonight, we are talking about cats. That's right. This car podcast is going to talk about cats. And if you'll stay around for about another 15 seconds, Stanley will explain to you what that means.
15 seconds?
Well, you know, long enough to realize we're not talking about actual cats.
Yeah, we're not. But you're a cat guy. You got cats.
I do. They're in here acting a fool right now.
I mean, and also everybody knows cats are trying to kill you, and cars are trying to kill us too. So, you know, they have things in common.
Hey, that's pretty good. Yeah, you're right. They both want you to die.
Yep. And are willing to assist you in that endeavor. But yeah. What Bill is talking about, this is kind of dating the podcast, but you know, we don't care. Tonight, our Carolina Panthers, regardless of what Bill says, has the number one draft pick. And to honor that, I figured that we should look at some cars named after cats or with cat names and just pick from them who would be our number one draft pick. And yeah, I don't know how this is going to go, but we're going to do it.
Stanley really just wanted to be able to talk about the Panthers and this draft pick. And he's really hoping that we're still podcasting when they make their pick selection so that he can like be mad about that on air or happy about it on air and document it for all time. I, on the other hand, just found out that they were doing a draft today when Stanley told me earlier in a text message. And then I, for some reason, even got when the Super Bowl was confused. So, I mean, not really my thing, but I'm digging the cat car idea. I can get on board with that.
I knew football wasn't your thing. You know, if it was Duke basketball, it'd be completely different. But
I don't know, man. I don't know that I'm following that closely. Oh, I know I'm not. I'm not following anything closely.
Well, we can't follow college basketball or college sports that much no more because, I mean, people move around so much, you can't really get attached to people. So.
Right.
But yeah, we're gonna do that cat thing, something. But we're gonna talk about a little bit of news first. And Bill had a story or two that
just one. I thought it was probably worth talking about. Is did you see Toyota unveiled 4 new concept vehicles, all based on the Crown? That'll all be not full electric EVs.
Mm-hmm.
But will be like hydrogen EVs.
Yeah. To be honest, I think I missed that, but I knew that was coming. Kinda. Something else got my attention this week. So, I didn't know they were going to be hydrogen or electric. I knew Toyota dabbled in that with the Mirai and stuff like that.
They seem to be, despite all the back and forth with CEOs that has been going on at Toyota lately, they seem to have really doubled down on the hydrogen battery electric vehicles. Mm-hmm. And they have now taken the Crown platform, the underbody, the chassis, and basically they've shown 4 vehicles out of this. So they have they're going to call it the Crown family. And if I'm going to make a prediction, I'm going to say that in a couple of years, much like Genesis became its own brand, Crown may very well become its own brand. But anyway, they have the sedan, which, I mean, kind of self-explanatory.
Might need to explain sedan just 2023. You know, people don't know what those are.
And they have the sport hatchback concept, which is the smallest of the 4 and really looks to be like a Mazda CX-30 kind of a fighter sized vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a CX-50, but it looks smaller than that to me in pictures. So it's hard to know until it comes out. Then they have the estate wagon concept. Just the fact that they're calling it an estate makes me excited.
All right. So which are you talking about? The red one. The red one is
one is the sport hatchback.
That's can I comment about that real quick? I like that.
It's not bad, is it?
No, I like that. I really do like that. I think that's kind of snappy. I said snappy, I'm old. Jeez. Yeah, I like that. It does kind of look like a play of the Mazda. A Toyota Mazda. I like it.
It kind of does, doesn't it? It's even got a little bit of like a Genesis headlight look to it.
Yep.
So I'm digging it. So anyway, so that's that. And then there's the estate wagon, which is I think probably the biggest of the group. And if I understood correctly from the one video I watched, it may actually be the nicest, like the highest luxury trim package inside. So anyway, it's kind of a gold color, and obviously, I mean, to me it looks like it's the size of like maybe a Santa Fe or something like that. And then there's just the plain old Crown, which we already know. So that makes the four vehicles. So a sedan version, the regular Crown, the sport hatchback, whatever you want to call it, and the wagon. And all four will share a platform, even though the sport hatchback thing has a shorter wheelbase, and shorter overhangs, you know, and I think the sedan is the longest. But anyway, so they look kind of cool. I mean, they're very futuristic, but I think the more interesting point is that it's Toyota, like really saying, yeah, we're going to keep building stuff with batteries. That's true. But we don't think all battery is the answer. And we don't think gasoline battery is the answer. So anyway, they're still going to offer a 4-cylinder internal combustion, but I think the goal is to go hydrogen. I don't know.
No, I get it. I mean, they were one of the companies that did the hydrogen thing. BMW did it, and still does it. Toyota still does it with Mirai. So it is a technology that they already invested in. It is technically, I guess, I don't know, a cleaner technology. Infrastructure may be a bigger issue than even with EVs. But I mean, they proved it worked. We got hydrogen hybrid military vehicles that have been tested. So also with that, I knew that they were going to do like a family thing. And I do agree with you that Crown is always kind of Japan. Correct. Yes. Somebody in Japan would probably come in and tell me I'm wrong. But Japanese people see the Crown as a Toyota, but it's not a Toyota because built the same way. It's not, because
Right, because it's their luxury flagship vehicle.
I mean, over there, the Crown is higher than the Lexus. It's like Maybach almost. You know what I mean?
Yes. You know?
And I always thought it was cool because they wouldn't do leather. They would do wool and stuff like that. Just Japanese, you know, just because Japanese people are cool. To be honest, I think the current Crown that we can get in the States kind of looks a little funky, but every video that I've seen is like, hey, when you see this in real life, you kind of get it. It makes more sense when you see it in real life. And, you know, most cars do that. Some cars get ugly when you see them in real life, but, you know, we ain't gonna go there right now. I heard a little bit about that, but I didn't go deep into the article. So thank you for bringing that up, Bill. You're awesome.
Look at me bringing EV news to the podcast.
Yeah, I was gonna.
That's right, folks.
You.
As soon as you hit pause, do look out your windshield or the window of your office and make sure there are not pigs flying by the building.
All right, pigs fly in your dreams.
Interesting.
Anyway, all right. So my little bit of news is not as in depth as that cut, but I'm gonna give you this thing first. So last Friday I was leaving work, and I had to go pick up stuff from my wife. I can't remember what it was. So I was leaving work, and there's one road. It's called Red Bank Road. That it kind of goes through the base where I work at, out, and is a public road. So I wasn't quite off base yet, and I saw a brand new 2024 Cadillac Lyriq. First one I ever seen on the road. It was the typical gray color. It was going the opposite direction, so I couldn't really whip it and go chase it down. But I saw one. This is one drive. I drive a little bit more. Understand that this whole drive takes all about 15, 20 minutes, maybe. With lights included. So I get up to another light, and I see an F-150. I was like, oh, man, that's a nice paint job on the F-150. Now get closer to it. It's the actual first F-150 Lightning that I've seen driving down the road. I've seen a
bunch of them on the road. They're very popular in the Raleigh area, but I have not seen a Cadillac Lyriq yet.
Yeah. Well, you know, we have slightly less money.
I don't know if I buy that, to be honest with you, Stanley.
Well, I'm on the outskirts of Charleston. I mean, Charleston probably got stuff like that. So I'm going out and I see this car. It's like, oh, that's my first time actually seeing it driving down the road. I seen it on the lot before, but I ain't never really seen it on the road. Then I saw about another two blocks up, a Nissan Ariya drives past us.
Whoa.
I'm like, what is going on?
It's new car to me.
it's that gold color. I'm like, what is going on? Get to another light. There's a wrecked Tesla Model 3 because the front fender is messed up. And actually, now that I think about it, I was at work with a guy because we were doing, they had to do some computer work. He drives a Model 3. And the guy who was there working with it, he drives a Chevy Volt. So I saw a wrecked Model 3 with a fender messed up. I was like, this is getting really, really weird. Why am I seeing all these cars that I don't usually see driving down the road? What is going on? Drive up a little bit more. This is where it divulges a little bit from being purely electric. Ferrari, oh God.
388. Oh.
Coming this way. Coming 388. Ferrari coming towards me. Old school Ferrari dude just out there taking a cruise. I'm like, oh man, that's nice.
That's nice.
Yes. But three cars behind him. A big white GMC Hummer. what is all this stuff?
It's new car day.
Yeah, is it new car Friday? And like I said, this is on one road. I didn't turn off the road. And it's with lights. I'm on this road for 15 minutes. And these things are around me. I'm like, what is going on?
So while we're sharing new car stuff and EV stuff, I'm gonna share my friend's story. So you know, a while back we discussed how you had the friend that was getting a Mustang Mach-E, and I said I had a friend getting a Mustang Mach-E GT.
For the record, that car that we talked about, the ending on this side, that car's still for sale. It's still at the dealership.
Okay.
Well, go ahead.
Well, and yes, I chose to say Mustang Mach-E altogether because I want to be very clear about this. So my friend Olivia, I might have to ask her to be on the podcast to tell her whole story. So
hey, Olivia,
she waited 10 months to get her Mach-E GT, right? She wasn't going to settle for one of the other editions. She wanted a GT. She waited. Mm-hmm. She ordered it. And during her 10-month wait, bought a Tesla and drove her Tesla until the GT came in. And then she got it in the yellow, orangey color.
Okay.
She drove it. And I don't know how long she had it, was driving it. But in the road, somebody lost their trailer hitch.
Oh.
And she ran over it. and it bounced up into her undercarriage.
Oh.
You know what sits down low underneath a Mach-E GT?
About 100 kilowatts of battery.
The batteries. So it damaged a section of the batteries.
Uh-huh.
So she had to she had to get it towed, obviously, like roll back to the dealership, put it on her insurance, whatever. It has been there for, hold on, I'm looking for it now. The end of January. It has been at the dealership since the end of January. They still do not know when the batteries are going to be in stock to ship one. The dealership has not communicated with her at all. They have left the car sitting outside, not connected to a charger, with a glass roof, no sun protection, shade, nothing.
Mm.
Nothing to protect the paint.
Mm.
And she has went off. The same dealership is selling, and I didn't realize this was a thing, but I'm sure she knows because she is mad. Right now, if you buy an electric vehicle from Ford currently, if you get an F-150 Lightning, it doesn't come with the current ones going to dealerships. Do not come with the necessary chips to play the radio or run the air conditioner or the heat.
Say what?
So you buy a truck for $100,000. You got no radio. You got no air. You got no heat. You buy it. And then you leave it at the dealership and they try to get a chip for it and put it in it for you.
Nah, son. That ain't cool. Nah, son.
What kind of stupid world are we living in?
No, sir.
Like, so I want to get her on here to talk about it because she is like crazy hot.
Nah, sir, that ain't cool. That is not cool.
Dealership, and I'm not going to say the name of this dealership. It's not the one closest to us, but it is a very well known in this area. Like, we'll say the Piedmont Triad area. It's a very well-known dealer brand. Mm. And other people that she's friends with have commented and shared their stories of also waiting 10, 11 months for their vehicles. Can't get service, can't get replies on things. Mm-hmm. Like, so I think I'm going to have to invite her on as a guest for another episode coming up soon to share her experience. But I kind of want to get to at least where she has an idea of when a battery's coming so we can get like a complete story. Right now she's just in a holding pattern. So we'll follow up with it.
That is so, yeah, we talked a little bit before about, you know, the shenanigans the dealerships are doing that is gonna,
yeah, in my done, opinion, man. They're done. Yeah,
gonna be their demise. I mean, you know, once upon a time, you know, a dealership, they would at least do what they said it was going to do. You know what I mean?
Yep.
You know, you bought a vehicle from them. They invested in the simple fact that, hey, if I treat this customer well, they'll come back to me. They'll buy this next vehicle. Everything will be happy. And some people would call it just corporate capitalism and all these other things. Capitalism, right, in my opinion, does not have to be easy. Evil. It's the people that are practicing these things that are doing this. And if you got a customer that you piss, that you upset, see, almost lost it just then. If you just continuously upset, those people talking, especially in, you know, small. I mean, if they're in Charlotte or something like that, maybe you may be able to get away with it.
Right.
The lack of word of mouth, but in a smaller community like the ones we live in, and with social media, man, people ain't coming back to you.
No, you're shooting yourself in the foot, man. You're saying I'd rather have $100,000 today than $1 million this year is what your decisions are saying to people.
Yeah. Get it. You know, the young people say you got to get it while it's out there. No. The long game is always way more profitable than the short game.
100%.
But yeah, I hope she will come on the podcast. I hope she does get her vehicle back. Like I said, with my friend Dave, I really do believe they wanted that car back, and they did everything they could to get that car back, and now it's just sitting on that lot. And
it's hilarious.
I'm happy for it, because that car was literally fixed 20 something days and for sale after they said they weren't going to be able to get that part.
That's nuts.
All right, so my last little bit of news, and then we're going to play this cat car thing, is actually about Ford, and it's about this car. I'm going to share this thing with you so you can see it.
Do it.
Can you see that?
Not yet. Now I can.
Cool. So the car that I'm showing Bill right now is the brand new Lincoln Nautilus, right?
Yep.
It looks kind of short. I mean, you know, as SUVs do, most of them look, they have the same basic profile. So the significant thing about this car is its gigantic screens, which I'm trying to get to right now.
This to me is a in between of a Escalade and a Grand Wagoneer. It kind of bridges the styling gap between flowing and brick.
Mm-hmm.
I think calling this thing anything other than a minivan is a sin, but because it's clearly a minivan.
We know how you feel about it, Bill.
That's clearly a minivan.
It is minivan-ish, I would say. So the highlight of this vehicle that they touted is this gigantic screen. You see this?
Oh, I see it. It's going to blind you in the sun, and it's going to break, and it's going to need updates, and it's going to be.
Yep.
Why?
And that screen in the middle that the guy's
talking about. That's all the screen you need.
Controls the rest of the screen. All this screen does is control this screen.
Stupid.
All right. So that's what the thing that they touted for this vehicle. But I thought it was something more significant about this vehicle. It's a crossover. You know, it's just going to sell like other crossovers do.
It's a minivan.
Minivan crossover. Lincoln still got some of the most complicated seats on the planet. So I'll show you this picture. See how that screen goes into there, right there.
It's got screens in the doors.
Yeah. Nothing's gonna go wrong with that.
The first time your wife gets mad and slams that door.
Yep. Because if you have a wife, she will get mad. But
I think better have soft closed doors.
The more significant thing about that vehicle is that, and we need to, I wish I would have thought about this, but I was all stuck on the Panthers, is that, a lot of American, I put air quotes up, car manufacturers, they build cars outside of America. They build cars in Canada, they build cars in Mexico, they build cars everywhere. And this vehicle is one of the ones that was built in North America. That one that I just showed you will not be built in North America. That car will be built in China because that car sells a lot in China.
Wow.
And will be imported to America. Buick does that with a couple of their SUVs because, to be honest, the only reason Buick exists is because China.
because China.
Yeah. We could have still had Oldsmobile or Pontiac, but China likes Buick, so that's what we got.
There you go.
But I thought that was a weird. I thought on the surface, it kind of makes sense. It's like, hey, build the vehicle where you're going to sell it the most at. But at the same time, because there is a battery electric and hybrid plug-in hybrid version of that vehicle that because it is built in China. It does not qualify for these new EV tag discounts and stuff. So why don't you just build an amount in North America.
Kia is because two production facilities is not worth the rebate.
I hear what you're saying, and it's like, hey, the cost of standing up that other facility might not weigh it. They already built other plug-in hybrid.
That doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. If you have to tool a line for a whole new model, it's incredibly expensive. I'll give you an example. Okay. So here's some manufacturing information for you. So I took a tour a while back. This is before the pandemic, but I'm sure it's only gotten more expensive, of a facility that makes engines, very well-known diesel engines.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
And
we talked about this.
Yes. Okay. And they were talking about, you know, their production method for producing these engines is a very old mentality way of machining parts through a process. So they have big machines that, like a gang drill, that, you know, six engine blocks maybe go into one machine at a time, and the whole machine makes all the same holes in all six blocks all at the same time, right? Mm-hmm. And that used to be 75 years ago, 50 years ago, 40 years ago. That's how you did a lot of throughput. And so they were thinking about and forward thinking on moving their plant towards more modernized, like CNC style machining, where they just did one part at a time, because it would give them flexibility to make changes as needed. So I asked, so how much does it cost to make a change? And he's like, well, a few years back, we moved a cooling jacket. So like a hole inside the block, you know, in the wall of the block. Mm-hmm. And he's like, we moved it about 100 thou. So, you know, less than an eighth of an inch. And mm-hmm. I think it cost the plant like $3 or $4 million to move a hole less than an eighth of an inch. So if you scale that up and say, okay, yeah, we are already assembling cars, but now mm-hmm. we want to retool and replan all of our robotic drills and screwdrivers. We got to retrain all of our employees to now lift a part a little higher with an assisted automated system, because everything's got automation built into it in a car, you know, assembly line. Everything's got electric or hydraulic assistance, so you're not picking up repetitive weight. You're not straining muscles doing repetitive actions. A single car model being added into a production line, you're talking millions, you know, tens mm-hmm. of millions of dollars to just add that one product. So unless you plan on selling 80,000 of them, you know, with a 20% margin, you're not going to come out in the good, which is why they don't do it.
I hear what you said, and I understand what you said. But this is my counterpoint to that, is the platform, just like we're just talking about with the crown and stuff, this is a shared platform. And I understand that there is cost associated with it. But when you have two vehicles on the exact same wheelbase of that platform, and you got another four that you're building on a similar platform, and with everybody, all these other modern companies seemingly being able to do this, then it left me guessing, I guess, for a little bit. And the other part about that is Kia, Hyundai, Mazda, Toyota, Volvo, Polestar, I guess you can say Tesla, GM, what's the other one that's coming to Dagon, North Carolina?
VinFast? I don't know.
VinFast. Nissan, all of these companies are investing in building these vehicles here and then building that same vehicle somewhere else, because the platforms are shared so closely, I guess they can move around a little bit.
Right.
So this is, if my memory serves me correctly, the Corsair is Lincoln's best-selling vehicle in the United States.
Yeah, okay. You say best-selling for Lincoln, but what is that in a year? 12,000 units?
I don't know. I had to look that up. But I thought it was weird that they were, I thought it was weird that they were opting to, because what their guessing that will also happen is they're going to move the Ford Edge production over there as well.
Huh.
Now and it's like that.
Well, I don't know how many Ford Edges they're selling lately, but.
Yeah. So they're going to break those two vehicles out for the rest of that product line and build them over there and then build the other vehicles on that same chassis and using similar engines, the same engines, like the Explorer and stuff like that. Build those here in North America. I thought it was kind of a weird move. But anyway, that's enough about that, I guess. We'll see. Hopefully Ford figures it out. Because, you know, even though I think they do dumb things, just like GM, I want them to be successful because, you know, America.
Because America.
Yeah. All right. So, cat cars. And we're going to go through this a little bit.
Yes, let's.
So,
I mean, we're right up on 8 o'clock. Have you got the feed running off to the side somewhere so you can keep an eye on what's happening?
I'm absolutely about to do that. I sent you a link, but I came up with some of my own before I sent you the link. I just didn't want you because I brought the idea to you so late. I didn't want you to have to start from scratch because I know how you get. Because I would do the same thing. I would neglect doing other things, trying to do the thing that is the least important.
Are you telling me that there are some that are not on that list you sent me?
Yes, because I thought of them before, and then that list didn't come up yet. So I was going to run down the list, and then I was going to ask you, could you think of any more?
Well, I didn't realize there were more than what was on that list. So I just went off of that list. I had a busy day today with a lot of meetings, and it's almost the end of the month. So I'm going to cars with cat names, because now I feel like maybe my pick may not have been the best one.
To be honest, the ones that they weren't on that list, they were the ones I thought of before I sent you that link. And I'll put the link in the show notes so people know what we're talking about.
Ooh, yes. See? Man, I'm glad I did that search.
So I'ma say the ones that I got, and you tell me if you find something else. All right. And I'll tell you that some things I'm not necessarily sure if this is the cat name, but it kind of feels like it, so that's why
there might be a couple flags thrown on some plays here depending on how this goes.
All right, so I put it in alphabetical order just now. Bentley Bentayga, the only reason I put that on this because Bentayga sounds like a cat. I'm not sure if that's really a cat.
I don't know what a Bentayga is.
But that doesn't sound like a cat.
Hey, I mean, look, yeah, if you told me there was a cat in Central Asia named a Bentayga, I'd be like, okay.
Yeah. I don't know if that's one of them. Buick Wildcat. There was an old Buick Wildcat. There's about to be a new Buick Wildcat.
Oh, is there a new one coming?
There's a concept EV Buick Wildcat. Of course it is. Chevrolet Cheetah. I didn't know about that, but evidently
I did not know about that one either.
It was a car that was supposed to go up against the Cobra that never really made it to production. But anyway, Dodge Hellcats.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and throw a flag on the play there.
If you go,
that's not a cat. Hellcat. That's not a cat.
Hellcat is a cat.
It's not a real cat. There's not a real cat named that.
You don't know that.
I'm not saying like some guy named Doug that's a Dodge fan doesn't own a cat.
You try to tell me that.
But I'm saying that's not a species of cat is what I'm telling you.
They are hell cats because they kill enough people or try to that some of them got to go to hell.
Oh my gosh.
I'm just saying.
I can't even right now with you. That's.
I'm just saying. But, all right. I'm gonna quiet that down a little bit. Ford Pantera.
Yeah, Ford Pantera. That's a pretty cool one.
All right. Ford Puma.
Ford Puma is an awesome cat car.
Yep. Would also fit in the category of something else we talk.
Didn't they make like a performance, like a Puma ST or something?
They still make the Puma ST.
Yes.
In Europe.
I thought I remember seeing those in France because they were super cool.
Because, you know, we don't get cool four cars. They send them everywhere else and build them everywhere else.
Well, you know what's strange? Listen, you know what's strange about the Ford Puma, right, in Europe, is that there's a market there for the Ford Puma and the Ford Ka.
Yeah.
Like, the fact they can actually sell a car smaller than the Puma is what's so surprising to me.
The Ka, the Puma, and the Fiesta.
But the Fiesta is bigger, right?
Well, it's bigger than them two, but it's tiny to us.
To us, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll only hold like one bag of Walmart Cheetos.
Yep, absolutely. I put Jaguar on the list because the company is named after.
Yeah, I think you about have to do that.
Another one I didn't know about, learned about today, the Mercury Bobcat.
I didn't recognize that one. That was one that I didn't know about either.
Me either. I haven't done a whole lot of research on that one, but I kind of figured that it was a thing because of another car that was on the list that I remember, but wasn't on the list that I sent you. All right, so I'll get to it in a second. The Mercury Cougar.
Yep, I like the old ones that were like basically a Mustang with a weirder front end.
Yeah, I like the because, you know, that car was the Thunderbird. So, you know, we have a fondness for Thunderbirds. The Mercury Lynx, which was the Mercury's version of the Ford Escort.
Right.
The Nissan Leopard.
That one was one that I didn't know about. Like, I didn't know about the Leopard. Don't know that I've ever seen one anywhere. That was new to me.
The only reason you didn't know about it is because you didn't go to Japan when you wanted to. But that's if right. You did, it's like a four-door Skyline. A longer four-door Skyline. It's like a rear-wheel drive Maxima.
Couldn't you get a four-door Skyline? So.
It's like a rear-wheel drive Maxima because it's bigger than the Skyline.
Well, I'm down for that.
So its primary competition was like the Toyota Sora. So if you understand that, which was a four-door,
I do know the Sora,
super sedan. The Plymouth Prowler, which isn't exactly a cat, but it is Prowler. That's what cats do.
Yeah, that one's kind of a in-betweener.
The Seat Leon. Did I say that correctly? As somebody who's been to Europe, is it Seat? Because every time I see it, I want to say seat, but it's Seat. Right?
Yeah, it's Seat as far as I know. And I think Leon is correct.
It is Leon, however you say it. That's lion in French, evidently.
Yes. Yes. And as somebody who went to Leon, France, which is Lyon, their city mascot is also the lion. So it's also a play on the same word.
Mm. Okay. I have the Sunbeam Tiger.
Yep, that one is my winner. I don't know if I'm supposed to divulge that just yet, but...
What's the rules? We ain't got rules. And the last one on this list that I got on this list is, I don't know how, because it's a mashup of words, because car companies have a tendency of mashing up words. So yeah, I put it on the list, waiting for you to throw the red, the flag was the VW Tiguan, because it's a mashup of the word tiger and iguana.
I don't even understand that. Like, what? Are you thinking what were they, whose idea was that?
Well, they named cars after winds and
that's
nomadic
a good point.
Tribes.
And, hey, Pagani named a car after a wind also. So
you're right. I mean, if we would have did animal cards, this would have been a much longer list because, you know.
Well, people are always on to us about not doing such long videos. So maybe it's a good thing we didn't do all animal cards. Maybe that's what we'll do. We'll do the follow up to this. It'll be more animal cards.
Cool. I like how you went there. All right. So we're going to go down this whole list about why we picked this and why we picked that. But I'm gonna do it this way. So if you didn't know, the Carolina Panthers have the number one draft pick, and there are four quarterbacks, because we need a quarterback, that are projected could really be the number one draft pick. Well, it's really three, but we had the fourth one in there. And they are significantly different. So the one who I think will probably be the number one draft pick, first of all, I'll be happy with any of the three. It's just I'll be less happy with the third. So the first guy who was legitimately the best quarterback in college football, probably for the last couple of years, his detractor is he's really good. He's really smart. He can do all the things, but he's like 5'9", 5'10". So he's short for NFL quarterback. So he's the small guy. So my small car pick in all this was the Ford Puma.
Nice. Look at what you're doing. I'm digging this. I mean, I think it was a sneaky way for you to get to talk about these football players, but.
All right. Yep. Absolutely. It is my way of sneaking in daggone this thing. So the next part about all of this is the next guy who played at The Ohio State, as I've said that because I got so many friends that from Ohio. He is
The Ohio State.
Yeah, he is kind of boring. He was kind of boring because he just did all his stuff. He's prototypical height. He has all the skills, and people didn't think he was athletic until he played a team where it was like, well, I guess I got to be athletic right there because this team is way better than what. And then people realized that, oh, this dude is fast and he can run and he can do all these other things. And so my pick for that guy is the Mercury Cougar. Because people didn't think they thought it was boring and you just drove back and forth and everything. And but you could get it with a V8. And at one point it came with a turbo 6, just like everything else that came in the Ford. Oh gosh, said the Ford equivalent Thunderbird. All the engines you can get in Thunderbird, you can get in the Cougar. So it was a quicker car than most people realized, but it was a boring car every other day. It was a luxury every other day, a premium car every other day. But the last dude is this dude. He is prototypical height. He is way bigger than he needs to be. He is way faster than he needs to be. He's way stronger than he needs to be. And he's this raw thing that is just, wow, we did not know this dude was wide receiver fast at quarterback. And we didn't know this dude could do all of this crazy stuff. And he's gigantic at the same time. So if you will allow me to pick the Hellcats in that position. I will put the Hellcat in that position, but you don't want me to put the Hellcat in that position. So I would have to say the most athletic car on the list would probably be, when we talk about single car, it would probably be the car that best fits him would probably be the, maybe the Leopard. Because it had
no, the Sunbeam.
The reason why I couldn't pick the Sunbeam because the Sunbeam is a little car, and this dude is gigantic.
Okay, but look what's under the hood of the Sunbeam.
I understand big V8. I get it. Yeah, and that does work, but it's a little car, and this dude is like 6'6", like 250 pounds of muscle, and runs like a 4.44 or 4.240. And throws the ball like 80 yards down the field. And he also only played, I guess Sunbeam would work because he also only played like 13 actual football games.
So do you know the history of the Sunbeam Tiger?
The complete history, no. I know the car only lasted like 2 or 3 years.
So
it had a similar story to the AC Cobra.
That's because
it was
the AC Cobra. If we didn't have the Sunbeam Tiger, we wouldn't have the AC Cobra. Do you know who built and developed the Sunbeam Tiger?
I don't know, but I'm going to guess Carroll Shelby because he had his hands in everything.
That's correct. That's correct. That's right. The Sunbeam. So when Shelby couldn't get the Sunbeam to do everything he needed it to do, he stopped using Sunbeam and he went to AC.
Mm-hmm.
So he knew he wanted a small convertible British sports car. So nobody was doing it better than them. So he goes to Sunbeam and he gets an Alpine.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to let that Alpine blast. But
I like how you put that in there. I like that. Right.
That's for my people. And so they shoehorned a V8 in there, like literally. And guess who helped him with it?
I will let you tell me.
You don't want to take a guess?
No.
Ken Miles, who also helped develop the GT40.
And I guess right one time already. So I just wanted to, you can't lose a game you don't play.
That's a good point. That's a good point. So they developed this thing to be a race car, right? It was going to be the race car version of the Sunbeam Alpine. Shelby worked on it and produced them. And this was supposed to be like very similar concept to the Cobra, right? But the Cobra was more. It was a little wider. It had a little better handling characteristics. But if you look back at that original first generation Shelby Cobra with a 289 in it, there's very little difference. They both ran a 289 cubic inch engine. They were both modifications of existing cars. Mm-hmm. They both did well on a drag strip, but they also did well at a racetrack. To me, it's if you wanted to buy one today and you wanted that sensation of a Shelby Cobra, but you didn't want to spend millions of dollars on an actual Shelby Cobra, get a mm-hmm. Sunbeam, get a Tiger. I mean, they ain't cheap, but they're not Shelby Cobra money. And it's got all the same, like, promenades that a Cobra does. So
I was gonna ask you, but you answered the question anyway. It's like, which would you rather really have, a Cobra or a Tiger? And I think I would rather have a Tiger, just for the simple fact that there's so many Cobra replicas and stuff running around here that you don't know what is what.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good point. That definitely weighs in as a factor. But here's the thing. If I had original car money, I'd probably pick the Sunbeam, because if I had enough money to buy an actual CSX Cobra, I don't think I'd actually drive the thing. I'd be scared to drive it. I mean,
car literally is trying to kill you.
Yes. Well, and this car's not too much. I mean, my boss, when I first got out of the Marine Corps and went in the dairy business, he had a Sunbeam Tiger. He bought it. He came back from Vietnam, bought it in California, where he was stationed after Vietnam. And when he left California, he sold it. And he regretted it too. I mean, I'm sure he still regrets it. We had a lot of conversation about that car. But Sunbeam Tiger, awesome little car. But I'll be honest with you, if I had my pick, even with a kit car, I'd probably get like a small, narrow-bodied, like 289 Cobra knockoff. I actually like the 289 cars better.
I think the 289 fits the car better. I really do. I mean,
don't get me wrong. These Cobras, the big 427 Cobras with the big arched Fenders, like, they do hold a special place in my heart. I'm not going to say I don't love them, and if I had one, I wouldn't be happy to drive it. I'm just saying, like, if I were going to go out and buy one myself today, and money wasn't an object, I would probably look for a 289 car.
I thought it's like the whole Miata argument where, you know, people's like, oh man, this car would be so much better if it had 300 horsepower. I was like, have you ever driven a Miata? Because let me tell you things that you don't miss in a Miata. You don't miss all that power.
Nope.
You do not miss it. It does not need it. Now, is it crazy? Like the Monster Miatas? Could it be crazy like the Monster Miatas back in the day? Absolutely. But it's just not necessary. And sometimes too much is exactly that. Too much.
Yes. I agree.
Yeah. So seeing how the draft is already on, however, it is not, they are not up to pick yet. We could stay on here long enough so you can hear who the pick is.
And I mean, if you really think that that's something I need to hear, I'm not going to have the first. I've already not heard any of the three guys' names you said. Like, I heard you say them, and then they immediately went out of my head because I will never need to know those names again. So,
first of all, I didn't say any of their names.
Oh, I thought you did.
Nope. That's how much, because you heard me say football and your brain just stopped.
Absolutely correct. My brain said, I wonder if I should see if that motorcycle's still for sale. My brain went somewhere else.
Also, I sent you something this week and you didn't text me back on it.
I'm going to be honest with you. I was really surprised it sold for $15,500. That seems like it was a little cheaper than my brain thought it was going to go for.
Yeah, I saw that there was a convertible Mustang that was up there that sold for $14,500. That was an LX convertible. And I was like, it got to sell more than that car. And it did.
$500. It did, but like, not much. Yeah.
But yeah. Well.
But yeah, I didn't comment on it because you sent it to me. I think I was like out of town driving or something when it came through. And then I just didn't think about it again. But I did see it. I did click on the link and look at it once I got safely stopped somewhere and I could do that.
It was nice.
It was nice. It was, it brought back all the 90s nostalgia feels.
Yes, it did.
If we're killing a little time on the podcast here until you can announce this pick, current favorite pick at the moment for Bring a Trailer that I'm watching, there is a 429 powered 1963 Ford F100 4x4 conversion. It's like a what do you call it? A pre-runner is basically what it looks like. Man, it looks awesome. I'm all about it. I don't know if you also saw that there is a 2002 Nissan Skyline GTR M-Spec Nürburgring edition in green.
No, I did not see that.
With 4 days left on it, and it's currently at 250K.
That's probably why I look past it. Yep. Hey, you know what? Somebody brought up something. This is a little controversial, so it might take us. We may be talking about it a little bit more. Has the GTR lost its luster a bit now that you could get all these different GTRs here?
Yes. Well, now wait a minute. You may have weaseled a yes out of me preemptively. Clarify. Do you mean the R35 lost its luster because of all the different ways you can buy one and how accessible they are? Or do you mean that because we've basically reached the point where everything but an R34 is now purchasable in the states that the old ones have lost some of their appeal?
The second.
The latter. Yeah. I'm going to disagree. They're still special. I would still buy one.
I mean, they will always be special to me. And I've never had a GTR. I had a GT Turbo four-door. And that car, again, like we were just talking, sometimes a car is quick enough. And that car was quick enough. It's like, when I was looking at that Mustang, it brought me back to the simple fact that 5-liter GT only had 225 horsepower.
But it was quick enough.
And people didn't complain about it. I mean, nowadays you can get a Toyota Camry with 75 more horsepower.
Right.
You know, made me think about this a different way is because I was talking to my wife about EVs and stuff. She actually had a car question for me. I was like, well, this is weird. Whoa. And she's like, why do y'all care how fast the car is 0 to 60? I didn't prompt her. Because you know how I feel about 0 to 60. I think it's a dumb stat.
It's a dumb stat.
And I was like, why do you care so much about how much power this car has? And it's like, she's like, the speed limit is 65, 70. And the fastest that you ever really go is 80 on the highway. And I was like, well, thank you for thinking I just go 80, just 80.
I'm choosing not to comment.
Right. And then so I was like, why are they making these cars with 500 horsepower and 600 horsepower and all these things like the Model 3s and the some of these EVs? I was like, nobody, the people who you want to sell this car to don't care about that.
They don't care. You're right. They don't care. 98% don't care about how much horsepower the car has.
So it, to me, I think it would be better that they do what they do now, which is like Audi, because I'm looking at an Audi right now on Brinker Trailer. Have the A4 with 200 horsepower, because most people are completely fine with that because they got an A4.
That brings up, okay. Let's talk about what it really means, because car enthusiast.
Quick pause. I'm going to let you think about what you're saying real quick.
News, breaking news.
We selected Bryce Young, quarterback from the University of Atlanta, which was the little guy.
Okay.
We selected the Puma. Actually, he could be kind of be the submarine type because he's a little guy. He is. I think he's going to be a good quarterback. But like I said, we're bigger than that guy.
Wow, I don't think so. Really?
Yeah.
Taller or bigger? Because that's two different things.
He is 5'10", which he's an inch taller than me, and he. Wait, he played at like 185, 190.
Oh, yeah. So he's smaller than me. He's an inch shorter and a few pounds lighter.
Okay.
So, all right. Here's what I want to say. And maybe this fits into that comment I just made about this guy being smaller. So I think it's important to distinguish that to the car enthusiast, which is pretty much all of our listeners, because nobody who doesn't like cars is going to listen to us talk about cars for as long as we do. But for the car enthusiast, horsepower number matters. Like the number of horse torques in an engine are important.
Horse torques.
Right, because we kind of geek out on the numbers of stuff. That being said, the way the car effectively uses its power in day-to-day driving situations has more of an impact. So what I mean by that is, if your car has 200 horsepower and 178 pound-feet of torque, but it's geared really well, you know, that it gets off the line fairly quick and then shifts right in its power band. Let's say it shifts at 28 miles an hour from first to second gear, and the car is able to get to the end of first gear in, I don't know, 2.5 seconds, 3 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
For most people driving a car, they'll be like, man, my car's pretty quick.
Yep.
Because that feels quick.
Yeah.
And that is enough performance feel that's really all most people are looking for, is getting to 50 miles an hour in a couple of seconds and changing gears once or twice doing it, because it feels like you're doing something.
Yeah, I mean,
so it's the feel of the car more than it is the power the car has, I think.
Yeah. And like, you know, we can obsess about weight when you're using a car in a sporting fashion and power to weight ratio and stuff. Most people want cars to get decent gas mileage. They want cars to get them where they're going. And they just don't want to be the last person and feel like everybody's passing them.
Yeah.
And then actually some people don't even care about that because they're oblivious to the things that are going on around them, which That's is why they point. Drive 40 miles per hour in the daggone fast lane.
That's a really good point. Yep.
But yeah, I mean, like, I think Volkswagen had a point when they didn't put that much power in the ID4. But I think they missed the point when it's like, hey, instead of all this power, we're going to give you all this range, you know. But I can get it. Like, if Volvo and Mercedes and BMW are making 500 horsepower electric cars and stuff, because they're selling to a different person.
Yes.
And bragging rights matter over there. But I mean, if you're driving an electric Corolla and somebody drop an electric Camry and your neighbor is driving an electric Accord, they don't care. They don't care. What they care about is how many times I got to plug this thing up or go to a gas station. That's all. They don't care.
Yeah. What your other neighbors care? How many rolling brownouts do we have to live with now to help power your two stupid cars?
Yeah. Rolling brownouts. But yeah.
Let me tell you, we just had Earth Day. We probably could have talked about Earth Day stuff. My daughter come home talking about Earth Day and said, my teacher said one of the things we can do to help the planet is get an electric car. Ooh.
Triggered.
Anna, I was like, I'm going to give you some information to go back to school with. I want you to ask.
You did not do that to her. You did not.
I want you to ask some questions.
You did not do that to her.
I 100% did it to her.
That baby did not deserve that.
She needs to know the truth. People in general need to know the truth.
People live in their own truths nowadays.
Man, that's the truth.
And with that truth being said, because we said truth seven times just now, the truth ding, is... Ding.
This episode brought to you by the word truth.
Truth. It's like Sesame Street.
And the animal cat.
Meow. Good night, Bill.
Good night, Stanley. Love you, brother.
Go Panthers.
Yeah. Wow.